fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I hope you're having a good week, and I hope you woke up today confident of who you are in Christ Jesus. And if you woke up today and you don't know him, you just happen to stumble onto this radio station this morning, I want you to tune in, because God, who made you, has a purpose and a call for you as well in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, if you haven't had a chance to listen to the program this week, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them on your computer. You can download them onto whatever device you have and listen to them as well at any time that's convenient for you. I ended the program yesterday looking at a section of the Catechism, because it's the season of Advent, and taking a look at the section of the Catechism that talks about the Creed and the part of the Creed that talks about the return of the Lord. Because this is the season that the church remembers and thinks about and looks forward to the return of the Lord. And the section I read yesterday was called The Church's Ultimate Trial. And it talks about things that are going to happen before the Lord's return. And one of them in this ultimate trial is the rise of the Antichrist, who will be empowered and inspired in some way by Satan himself to lead the church away from Christ. And large numbers of people who are baptized are going to turn away from Christ and fall to the temptation of this false Messiah. He's going to amaze people with his intelligence. He's going to amaze people with his influence. He's going to settle disputes around the world. He's going to bring about peace. He's going to get people's attention. And human hearts are always desperate for a solution, or for a solution right now. And the waiting for the return of the Lord and enduring trials and standing for the Lord and the truth that is in Christ is going to become difficult. It's always a bit of a trial, but it's going to become more intense and very difficult, because he's going to offer a solution. He's going to have everybody's attention. And he's going to offer a solution, a way forward, a false religion, a false messiahism. He's going to be a false messiah. And it's going to feel like an immediate relief. And yes, we're going to follow this guy. But at the end, to follow him is going to require turning away from Christ. And the revelation of Jesus Christ, the truth of Christ, the reign of Christ, will be looked upon as a false religion. It's going to be looked upon as a lie. And people are going to be seduced by the broader culture. And you think about how easy it is to be conformed to this world, to be shaped by the culture that we live in. It's why Scripture is so clear in exhorting us, do not be conformed to this world. To be a friend of the world, Jesus said, makes us an enemy of God. What does he mean? He means the fallen dimension of this world. There's a dimension of this world that's filled with rejection of God, rejection of God's commandments, rejection of God's revelation. And there's an insisting on being independent of God, embracing lies about God. But also the fallen world is just filled with sin and crime, lies and cheating and infidelities and the very things that Jesus pointed out, the reign of sin. There's a third paragraph in that section of the Catechism, which I didn't get to yesterday, that I want to underline today. Again, the church's ultimate trial. It says the church will enter the glory of the kingdom only through this final Passover. So the Passover means the church is going to go through, like Jesus went through Passover on Calvary, when standing for the truth and revealing the Father in its an absolute purity in his own life and calling people into the kingdom, the world turned against him and crucified him. But he passed from death to life in order to set us free. We too are going to follow some kind of Passover of suffering, trial, very serious persecution before Jesus returns. Again, 677. The church will enter the glory of the kingdom only through this final Passover, when she will follow her Lord in his death and in his resurrection. The kingdom will be fulfilled then not by a historic triumph of the church through a progressive ascendancy, but only by God's victory over the final unleashing of evil, which will cause his bride to come down from heaven. God's triumph over the revolt of evil will take the form of the last judgment after the final cosmic upheaval of this passing world. There's a lot packed in those few sentences. So what the church is helping us understand, based on Jesus' own teaching, the teaching of the apostles, tradition of the church that's very clear on this, the kingdom which exists in the church in its seed form here in the world, the kingdom of God in its fullness will come, not by man declaring his independence from God, creating his own religion, setting up his own temples, and seeing himself at the center of all things, and following the Antichrist. The fullness of the kingdom of God will only come when the king comes again and definitively establishes his kingdom on earth. It says, now, the phrase here talks about the fulfillment of the kingdom of God is not going to come by an historic triumph of the church through a progressive ascendancy. It's trying to get at some of the anti-God ideas that emerge and have emerged even in our own history. The whole communist thing that happened in the Soviet Union and in China is a kind of false messiahism. We're going to, through an historic process and the outworkings of economic realities, it's moving towards some kind of ultimate end, as if it has a teleology, has an end and a purpose that history is moving into, where the proletariat and the bourgeois are going to collide with each other. There's going to be a conflict. And the bourgeois, the ruling, are going to be brought down. And what's going to happen? You have a battle between these two forces. It's going to bring about some kind of third out of it, some kind of utopian existence. I mean, the whole communist ideology is founded on the rejection of revelation, and it really is a presentation of another cosmic vision, you might say, a vision of reality that they put their faith in, that these economic forces are at work in history, this is all being worked out, and when these conflicts happen, so they got to promote revolution, got to promote conflicts, we talk about thesis, antithesis, leading to a synthesis, you got to bring this about to cooperate with the forces in history to bring about the rise and the rule of the proletariat. And so many, many people abandoned the Christian vision of reality and bought this one. A secular messianism is really what it is, with a false anthropology, a false understanding of what is the human person. It's a materialist understanding of reality. It rejects the transcendent. It rejects the immaterial world, the world of heaven, angels, of human souls. It rejects all of it. But we're just subject to material forces working in history. It's the result of the longing in the human heart for something better, something permanent, to put your hope in something. But it's a lie. And it was exposed as a lie in history. It was revealed so clearly. But some people, mostly professors at, you know, universities, hang on to this stuff as if this is really it. And in the process, mock people who believe in God, his revelation through the people of Israel, and the fullness of his revelation through his son, Jesus Christ. So we're not going to be able to fix the world. Why do I say that? Because it says the kingdom is not going to come as the result of my fixing the world. It's not about the accumulation of more knowledge, more, you know, technological resource and power, a greater dominance over nature, all of that. There's a lot of positive things that can come through all of that, and we certainly have seen them and experienced them. None of it touches the human heart, where the real problem is. None of it. But yet, secular ideologues continue to push forward progress. We're progressing. Everything's getting better. It's not true. It's a lie. It's not all going to... And the church can get sucked into that, believing that it's all us. And the church has a horizontal view of reality, and it loses its vertical view. It's a both and, but it's, I tend to say it's up to us. The church needs to be more revolutionary. The church needs to bring about this kingdom more through engaging the powers of the world and doing what's needed to cooperate with bringing down those powers that are unjust. Now, the church isn't meant to be passive in the world, and the church has a role of speaking truth to power. There's no question about it. But the church understands that we don't fix the world and then present it to the Lord perfected when he comes again. We have a mission to care for the poor, spread the gospel, and ultimately seek not only to clothe the naked and to feed the hungry, which is fundamental to what it means to be a Catholic, to be a Christian, in terms of our mission, but to ultimately join Jesus in his first mission, and that is to seek and save the lost. It's a both and. And sometimes we can be confused and get drawn into this progressivist attitude, even within the church itself. And what ends up happening is heaven is simply assumed. Everybody's going to heaven. And all we need to do is we need to just get about the work of Jesus. And we need to care for the poor, and we need to straighten out the politics of the countries we're living in and get after it. And all the rest of that stuff is going to come on its own. We need to sort of perfect society and people and offer it to the Lord. There's a lot of confusion there. It's always both and, friends. Only the return of the King is going to bring about the peace and justice, the triumph of goodness and mercy, and the truth of God in the establishment of the kingdom. Because the reality is, see the collision when you think about history's progressing towards something, like always getting progress means improvement. And it's so interesting that even people who don't believe in anything beyond this world somehow believe progress is possible when all we are is matter in motion and there is no ultimate meaning in life. And yet they still talk about progress, like we're all getting better. We're progressing toward what? Well, the church is clear, because Revelation is clear, that human history is moving toward the final judgment in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we'll talk about more next week, when every single person is going to stand before the living God and give an account of his or her life. And before he returns, the church isn't moving in perfecting society, and it's going to reach its apex of perfection just before Jesus gets here. What we read yesterday very clearly in the Catechism is to the contrary. Before the Lord returns, the devil is going to make his last play to enslave the church and to destroy the church. And many, many people are going to get seduced by him. Before he returns, all of Israel will turn to receive Jesus as Messiah. It will be a miracle. God will bring about the triumph, not us. So the last sentence in this paragraph, God's triumph over the revolt of evil will take the form of the last judgment after the final cosmic upheaval of this passing world. God, his King, will bring about his kingship over us. In this season of Advent, let's get ready. Let's live it now for his glory. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.